are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. It is the weekend. It is Friday the 13th. But I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. Because I know even if it ain't, you're going to get it done anyway. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And we love you for it. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific Time, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com and look for the podcast, click on that, and then right up at the top is African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that will be dated and titled, thanks to my good brother and friend, Brother Kwaku, and Brother Franklin Jones for those memes. He's heavy on those. That's how we got hooked up. This program here is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., because these are the other programs that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. After my program on Monday and Wednesday is The Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. The Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones on Monday and Wednesdays from 1 to 3. Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia. After Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. Then on Wednesdays, from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. Her program is every Wednesday from 8 to 10, Revive. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. Friday, it's Friday, and today is Friday. So this evening at 8 p.m., you know what time it is. Exactly, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Check them out this evening. Tomorrow, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, it's not me. It's Sister POC in her program Revive on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday night at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. It's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media, Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., the Warren Ballantyne Show. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American-owned businesses, and you can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. But if you are in the Atlanta area, and I mean, you can go online, WeBuyBlack.com.
and get those products. But if you're in the Atlanta area and you're near the Greenbrier Mall, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. You can pick up that laundry detergent and all kinds of lotions and toothpicks and batteries. And, oh, man, they have a towel set now that's a nice gift. All kinds of good stuff at WeBuyBlack.com and their kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Romani Taihemba, he's taking our people once again to the motherland. Another tour with AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Go online and check out the website, please. Also, too, if you want to talk to Brother Bomani, give him a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Because he has a trip upcoming, and it's going to be November 22nd to December 2nd, South Africa, Johannesburg and Cape Town. Check it out. Also, too, at the end of December, December 24th to January 4th, 2020, going back to Ghana, West Africa. So check out Brother Bomani. If you want to look at photos from previous trips, go to Facebook.com/Bomani, B-O-M-A-N-I. If you want to look at videos from previous trips, go to YouTube.com/Bomani 2007, and you can check out videos of previous trips. I'm quite sure they had the last trip, which was back in May. Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, let me go back because they're having a festival at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Let me pull that up right here. That's right. They're having a festival, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. It is this Saturday at 2 p.m. Saturday, September 14th at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., a couple of hours, but it's a jazz concert featuring Rosemary Robinson and Comas Music Group. Come browse, munch, and enjoy the sounds right in the West End at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, here in the West End, here in Atlanta. Vendors, all kinds of good stuff. Of course, they, you know, Shrine of the Black Madonna has a lot of stuff for sale because they got furniture, they got clothes, they got books, they got the Nasgas shoes, the red, black, and green shoes, Kwanzaa kits, you name it, they got it, and they have books at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. They also have a class. I'm not sure if the class will be happening this Saturday, but maybe so because, no, maybe not because it is at the same time as the event. The class is 1:30 to 3:30 on Saturday, every Saturday. Know thyself, free and open to the public at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. But if you can't make the class, but you want the information, you can always contact the Shrine and get the Multimedia Library. Brothers and sisters, this is the most extensive cultural library of its kind. Over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 22,000 books. Brothers and sisters, it is 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment at your fingertips, at your disposal. Believe me, it's very interesting to go through there. It really is. So check out the Shrine of Black Madonna if you are in the Atlanta area. Remember, this Saturday, I'm Ralph David Abernathy. The Shrine will host a free jazz concert. And I hope you can check that out. Medu Bookstore. Medu means writing. After the word is Netcher. Medu Netcher, the writing of the gods. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, which is right next to the We Buy Black kiosk, the Medu Bookstore. And the number to call is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263 at the Medu Bookstore. They're open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 9 and Sundays from 12 to 6. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Brother Gazimde Ajamu, my good brother, Brother Ajamu, the owner of the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, and he's having a function Saturday, September 28th, 2 weeks from tomorrow. It is a free Black Dot Cultural Arts Festival, free food, live music, art, poetry, speakers, and so much more right there in Lithonia on Main Street, 6884 Main Street in Lithonia. 6984 Main Street. Excuse me, 6984 Main Street. But that is closing Main Street off. And, of course, they got an excellent vegan restaurant right next door. I'm quite sure they're going to be serving up some good, delicious food for this beautiful festival. And other vendors will be there as well. But more importantly, we want you to be there from 12 to 8 p.m. That is the Black Dot Cultural Arts Festival. I'll be there. In fact, I hope you can meet me. No, don't meet me there. Beat me there. That's your saying. All right. Black Dot Cultural Festival. And I'm going to get my good brother on the line as the date nears. Us Lifting Us. ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Their Thursday night broadcast was last night at 9 p.m. Every Thursday night. Listen to Us Lifting Us. More importantly, go online to usliftingus.com and become a member. Brothers and sisters, we need each other. It is a cooperative. I know this country, individualism and capitalism is sad and sick. It's divisive. But we need, as an African people, always to be collective. So go to usliftingus.com. The Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night at 9 p.m. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Akabin Institute, I'm very happy and proud to be in attendance of the manhood gathering the other day with Baba Baruti and many of the good brothers here in Atlanta. And believe me, the work that he is doing, it needs to be supported. Everything that I'm throwing out here, brothers and sisters, I believe, and you could be wrong. I could be wrong, but I'm not. But you could be wrong, because if you don't support it. But Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30311. Make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30311. But if you want to use Cash App, and Sister Yad said use Cash App, they've been having problems with PayPal because of the work that they do, you know. So use Cash App and the cash sign and then Yah, YAAMBARUTI, Baruti, and send your contribution to Akabin Institute. Sister Gabby with Sanjay-Haiti.org, go online and look at the work that this sister has done and is doing for the people in the northeastern part of the island of Haiti, the rural area, which doesn't get the attention and so forth. OSNJE-AYITI.org, SanjayAyiti.org. And the Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund, Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund, go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. On the page, just scroll down, it's on the right side, click on that button and give to the Black Talk. The Black Talk Radio Network is the number one source a positive, strong information for our people. We must support it. We must support it. I'm not asking to support this program, but I'm on Black Talk Radio Network. I'm on Time for an Awakening, which is on Black Talk Radio Network. And the other programs that are on Black Talk Radio Network, we must support it. So please, go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. On the right side, the donation button for the Black Talk Radio Network 2019 Media Fund. Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. To Inye Sesem. And I always enjoy and look forward to what Baba Baruti and many other people who give the little snippets have to say. Yesterday, September 12th, a man straddling two cultures is rarely well seated. A man straddling two cultures is rarely well seated. Albert Mini. Some of us who have been initiated into traditional African priesthoods have divided loyalties or are completely committed to Caucasian, European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy. These confused souls either do not know or do not want to know our historical relationship between Africans and Europeans, and that the intent of Europeans for global domination of all people of color has never changed. Apparently, money, smiles, lust, and the misbelief that their spiritual training has elevated them above this world, and therefore its racial politics, guide the dreams of this collection of African priests who carry no loyalty to African people. Obviously, many of us, spiritual training and elevation does little to enlighten us about how systematically self-hated and self-hatred has been assimilated into our subconscious. The defeat and removal of self-destructive racist beliefs from our minds requires an awareness of their presence and effect, as well as a strong desire to come out from under their power. Priests are people too. They too can be blind to truths about themselves and others. Of course, there are those who are consciously committed to the destruction of African people at European hands. These are beyond our assistance. Those who wittingly desire their own people's death cannot be helped. They do not want another righteous reality. They cannot imagine a world where they are not handmaidens to European domination. As such, they should remain beyond our concern. Our focus should be on the aspirants to the priesthood who equally aspire to be African. Affirm, my loyalty is undivided. Affirm, my loyalty is undivided. September 13th. If we're going to survive, we must survive. We've got to have sincere, committed people who will put the struggle above everything else and who will not sell themselves or our struggle out at any cost, even at the cost of death. Not an equal Butebi. Too many of our potentially beneficial revolutionaries just want to be heroes or sheroes. In their hearts of hearts, their ultimate goal is to be seen and lauded, to become rich and famous, but without the usual tint of self-centeredness. Because we have been soaking in this numbing extreme individualism almost from birth, this warped need to be seen and publicly recognized as saviors retards our ability to be dedicated workers in a people's vision where victory and glory are more a national than an individual experience. Because our humanity, manhood, and womanhood have been so systematically denied for so long, it is hard to aspire to the role of humble, infatigable warriors. Because nothing less than the limelight will soothe our eviscerated egos. We have forgotten that to do a hero or shero's work is enough. It should be more than enough to be seen and lauded by those we serve and who serve by our side. Affirm, I do a hero, shero's work. I do a shero and hero's work. Affirm. The Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Today is Friday. Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th. There's a name for Friday the 13th phobia. Paratest. I can't even pronounce it, so forget it. But I do know the number 13. That is Treskadikaphobia. Treskadikaphobia. That's right. Treskadikaphobia, the fear of the number 13, Friday the 13th. And I know that a lot of our people, you know, they believe that Friday the 13th, you know, is something that should be feared. You know, Friday the 13th. Brother Damani, let me go here before I go into Friday the 13th. Brother Damani Aquil, my good brother and friend, last night at the premiere of the documentary Mama Africa. It was a very well received. It was at the Auburn Avenue Research Library. And a decent turnout. Obviously, you always could like more and more. The brother from the documentary maker, brother from Venezuela, Brother Bento, outstanding. I mean, just beautiful brother. Mama Africa promotes the visibility of the rich history, joys, and potentialities of the African continent, as well as the daily lives and struggles for the inclusion of the cultures and ways of being of the African in Americas. It examines the impact of the Maafa, our Infakani, our Holocaust of our enslavement, and the process of enslavement, with a focus on how people have overcome these oppressions thanks to the political, social, and cultural resources developed by African people in the process of working for independence and decolonization. The film travels through what we know as the enslavement route between Ogo, Nigeria, and the Caribbean, and inserted with the intercultural integration policies that have been advanced by UNESCO within the decades of the people of African descent. Mama Africa is both educational and entertaining. Yes, it is. You know, and offering alternative perspectives on the culture of African people of Nigeria and Venezuela through a look at their religious, cultural, and social and political systems. It is an outstanding documentary, brothers and sisters, Mama Africa. And I want to thank Brother Damani Aquil for allowing me to be a part of the program. To raise some money for the brothers and sisters in Venezuela, because you know what's happening, the embargo in Venezuela, because they want to destroy Venezuela after Hugo Chavez and the new elected president of Maduro of Venezuela. But as you can see, they didn't do it. You know, I love it. I love when these Caucasians, particularly America, tries to develop a regime change, and it doesn't happen. Because I can't stand. I mean, you know, yes, I watch the programs on Sunday, the news programs, and I hear the Trump administration's secretaries of this, that, or the other, you know. But, you know, their whole idea, of course, is to rule and dominate this planet. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed, and nothing will change until we change ourselves. We can't change them. They're going to continue to do what they do. They are amoral. A in society means not. A, the letter A, means not. So they are not moral. They have no morality. They have no sympathies. They can give less than a rat's ass. They're going to do what they continue to do. When Frances Cress Welsing said it came to her that European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is in everything they do, every area of people activity. But just as I read to you, in the Inye Sesem, there are some of us who believe that somehow they, individually, because they may be treated well, that they're part of that system. But I continue to say, brothers and sisters, we must come together because we're not a part of that system. And those who want to stay, stay. We can't do nothing about that. Because there are truly some who will do whatever they can in service to that man at the detriment of our people. So this day, Friday the 13th, you know, there's two of them. There's another one in December. Now, back in Milwaukee, we call Friday the 13th Black Friday. Because Caucasians wrap their superstition around this day, bad day. There are some people who are superstitious, who have these phobias, who have triskaidekaphobia, which is the fear of number 13. I ain't gonna even begin to pronounce the name of the fear of Friday the 13th. That's a tough one. In fact, I tried to see if there was something in the dictionary. I didn't find it. But anyway, so I could see if I could break it down phonetically. But anyway, we used to have Black Friday. And we would go to somebody's house and, you know, potluck, you know, sing, whatever talents we had, break a mirror, walk under a ladder. In fact, we had Friday the 13th at the Brotherhood Hall when we had it going back in the day. And Sister Mary Felder, who was on the line the other day, she's back in Milwaukee for a minute. We had Black Friday and we had a ladder there that you go walk under, place where you could break a mirror, you know. Didn't have a black cat though, you know. I don't like cats. You know, so all of these things that, you know, so supposed to bring you bad luck. Well, of course, one of the things that the origin of Friday the 13th, some believe biblically, because the 13th guest at the Last Supper in the upper room, was Judas. Judas Iscariot. And of course we know Judas, where of course now you get the term being a Judas, a traitor, you know, traded in Jesus for 14 pieces, you know. And so they say, because it's not historical, brothers and sisters. I'm just going to keep that seriously real. It's not historical. It is not. I think in your heart of hearts and your mind, you know it. But if you feel that Christian religion, the Christian theology, as dogmatic as it is, and damn it, it is dogmatic. Anytime you have a religion that says you can't have no other. This is the way. There is no other way. This is it. That's dogmatism. That's dogmatic. But anyway, supposedly that is one of the things about Friday the 13th, because of course, even though, because the next day Jesus was crucified, supposedly crucified, and people believe that, and that is the tenet of the faith of Christianity. That you must believe that Jesus died for your sins. And then on Sunday, 3 days, although, you know, I mean, as I'm about to say something, it reminded me of being in Africa, when I was in Africa back in April, and trying to talk to this man about getting this car to go from in the northern region of Ghana, from Tamale to Moli Park. Because I ordered the car and I thought it was 3 days. You know, 3 days is 72 hours. 3 days, you know. But his thing was, no, that's not. It's not 3 days. So actually it wound up being 2 days. Yeah. But 3 days, I mean, you know, because like I was trying to say to him, I know I'm not in the States. I'm not in the United States, sir. I know that. But in the United States, it's if I pick up the car on Friday at 12, you know, that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I turn it back on Monday. 3 days. I got it 3 days. He said, no, that's not how it goes. Well, it's also like the, you know, supposedly Jesus being dead. Let's just say he died at 8 a.m. in the morning on Friday. But he rose early Sunday. So that's not 3 days. That's 2 days. Okay, Yoshi. But let's be real, it's 2 days. So, because it's sunrise right on that day, the Easter Sunday, sunrise service, because he rose, you know. So, I don't know. So the number 13 is a bad number. They wrapped a whole superstition. In fact, somebody said that Tupac died on Friday, Friday the 13th. I think it was last year there was three Friday the 13th. That's unusual. This year's two, and I think next year. Only one, I think, coming up in 2021. Only one Friday the 13th, you know. And I know we called it Black Friday, and I know that the day after Thanksgiving now is called Black Friday. And we called it Black Friday as well prior to them calling it Black Friday, because we said because of the holiday season and what we said, we will not spend no money with Caucasians the next day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and we will spend money with each other. Now, you, if that's what happened in your community, give me a call. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. But in Milwaukee, we said this is Black Friday. And I was told that there were other places that did the same thing on the day after Thanksgiving. But then, of course, the mercantile business, because, see, you couldn't have said nothing about no damn black about 20-some years ago. This is recent. The Black Friday thing is a recent thing. You couldn't say nothing about no black, especially something about black in the 60s when we were coming up in the 70s. No, you couldn't have done it. The business community could not have done that at that time, because we were coming into blackness. I wish we came into Africanness, but we were coming into blackness. You know, I always say that the unfortunate thing about that movement at the time, it wasn't cultural. We didn't want to be African. We wanted to be black. You know, so no, you couldn't have Black Friday at that time. And of course, I'll have a program on the day after Thanksgiving talking about that, you know, situation of Black Friday, you know. So we did have that as something too, that we, as a form of protest, like we did many times on the Friday the 13th, you know, as a form of protest. Because they say it, we say something different. In fact, having done research, and that's what we should always do, dear brothers, we do research. The research has shown or has stated or has proven that the number 13 is not a bad number. No, brothers and sisters, the number 13 is a good number. Yes, I know on some airlines there was no 13th row. On some hotels and other skyscrapers above, you know, 20, 15 stories, there were no 13th floor. No 13th floor. Consistently promoting the idea of the number 13. And of course, the franchise, the Friday 13th franchise. In fact, the Friday 13th franchise was big enough to have a TV series back in the 80s or early 90s, it was, I think, like that. Because I used to watch it, Friday the 13th, with this group of young people. And they wanted to get all these things, artifacts and so forth, that had something to do with paranormal and so forth and evil and whatever, you know. And so that was the series, Friday the 13th, you know. And so this society has promoted this idea of Friday the 13th being a bad number. The number 13 being a bad number. But of course, the number 13th is not a bad number. It is a good number. When this country was taken from the indigenous people, the Europeans that came and took this country, they established how many colonies? Now understand something. The people who came and took this country and the leadership of those people, they were not Christian. They were not the Puritans or the Quakers or none of that. No. They were deists. They were Masons. And if you understand Masonry,
That is ancient Kemetic knowledge. Ancient Egyptian. Not only to say that, do I on this program, because I think if you listen to this program, you know Kemet is the original name. Egypt is a name given to them by the Greeks. But the thing about Egypt itself is it also means, you know, burnt-faced people. So, but Kemet, which of course means land of the blacks. So they had that knowledge. The people in Freemasonry had that knowledge. So how many colonies did they establish? 13. Why not 10 or 15 or whatever? Those are, you know, okay numbers. Why 13? Why did they establish 13? And this information of Friday the 13th has happened in a society for a long time, because it began in Europe. And of course, it began with Christianity, you know. But in Europe, there's other days that some bad things happened. Somebody did this, that, and another. So Friday the 13th became, you know, and the number 13 became associated with that. And of course, today, Friday the 13th, there is a full moon. Oh, Friday the 13th and a full moon, the lunar. Maybe some, you know, that of course, you know, the sun is solar and the moon is lunar. And of course, there's that effect that the moon has on the earth, the gravitational pull and so forth. And some women have their menstruals at this time and so forth. And some people act crazy. That's where you get the word lunatic. Lunatic from the full moon. And so the number 13, these folks established 13 colonies. They didn't establish 10 or 12. Why? Because you know why? They had the knowledge that we once possessed. They understood that the number 13 is the number of transformation. 12 completes a cycle. 13 begins anew. The number of transformation. So now you brothers and sisters know, and I'll say it again in December on Friday the 13th, that the number 13 is a good number, because 12 completes the cycle, 13 begins anew. The number of transformation. How many signs are there in the zodiac? 12 plus the sun, 13. How many disciples did Jesus have? Although not historical. 12 plus Jesus, 13. How many mythical knights at the round table? And I said that right. That's right. King Arthur was not real. William Tell was not real. There are no historic. These are not historical figures. How many knights at the King Arthur's round table? Which is I like some of those movies. I loved Excalibur. I loved Excalibur. King Arthur had 12 knights at the round table. Plus King Arthur, 13. How many jurors on a trial? 12 jurors plus the judge, 13. So you see where I'm going with this, right? You understand this. That no, the number 13 is not a bad number. The number 13 is a great number. It is a good number because it is the number of transformation. 12 completes the cycle. 13 begins anew. How many donuts do you get from a baker's dozen? Ha ha, yes. You got to be old school to remember that, because there ain't no bakeries around no more, hardly. 13. Well, you know, you got Dunkin' Donuts, but I'm talking about a real bakery where that's what they did. You know, it wasn't a donut shop, a coffee shop, or sandwich shop. No, it was a bakery. And many bakeries in the stores have closed too. So, the number 13, the number of transformation. 12 completes the cycle, 13 begins anew. When we come back from the break, I'm going to explain how we can put the number 13 in our daily lives and transform ourselves and ultimately transform our community, because that's what needs to happen. We need to put away superstitions. Very, very superstitious. The writing's on the wall. 13-month-old baby. 7 years of bad luck. When you believe in things you do not understand, you suffer. I wish I got to get my download together so I can put up some music. That would have been a great piece to play. Very superstitious today, wouldn't it? It would have been on. But, of course, I'm going to play Friday because that's what the day it is. And Living for the Weekend by the OJs and Johnny Kemp's I Just Got Paid. Those are two X. You know, there's something about Friday songs to me. You know, they're just regular songs. You can play them any day, anytime you want to. But on a Friday, and I guess that's because when I was working a job that required me to be at work, you know, Monday through Friday, and then on Friday, you know, it seemed like, man, it's popping, it's on. I can't wait to get out of here and hit the streets. It's Friday, you know. Even when I was working second shift, you know, sometimes I prayed, man, I wish we can get out early so we can just get a couple hours, you know, before the...
This call is being recorded. You know,
before stuff closed. We got a caller. We have a caller. 646. Good morning.
Hey, oh, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine, Jay. How are you?
I'm good. Listen, I miss your 9/11 show.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was great. Brother Kwaku is going to get that put up real soon on the timeforanawakening.com webpage. And then you go to podcast and hit African Perspectives, and that should be up in there early next week. It went well.
Okay.
Yeah, it went well. You know, some of the callers, you know, started doing what you do, Jay. taking the thing off course, but we brought it back.
Hey, listen, let me tell you something. That's the one thing in the one place that I remember where I was at when that happened.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. And where
now,
was that?
I don't remember a lot of things.
Okay.
But that I could tell you where I was and what I was doing on that date.
Sure.
And like, you know, my old lady always get mad at me because she said that I'm heartless and I have no feelings whatsoever. Because, you know, I make the assertion that enough of them didn't go back to see the Sky Daddy or whatever. You know, I'm not one of those.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those that have sympathy for when you Rugals go see the Sky Daddy. Because I'm a firm believer with all that they have done to us.
Thank you, Jay.
Whenever something happens to them, I ain't never going to be sympathetic.
Thank you, Jay.
I had to tell a Negro on Facebook, you're absolutely insane to say that you were enjoined up in the military because of what happened on 9/11.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't join up to take care of your people.
That's right.
With what happened to them since we came into the midst of this no good, filthy, stinking devil. So, nah, man, I'm not one of those people who believe in that. Patriotism and all of that other foolishness.
Yeah.
That's foolishness.
Right.
I don't have the patience for it. You know, I'm not a patriot.
No,
you know
not I mean? To this.
I give less than a flying F about America.
Exactly.
If it's the bars come, it comes. I always say to people, you're a casualty at war, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You're a casualty. Those guys, as far as I'm concerned, they had the right to do what they did. Now, you may not agree with me. You may not understand it. But when you take into consideration what America does around the world to people, it's amazing that more don't come over here and do their thing.
Right. Well, listen, what I spoke about was, no, they didn't do that.
Nobody did that but the United States government. It was an inside job. It was clear, plain, and simple. It was in your face. In fact, the title of the program, Jay, was 9/11, Let the Truth Be Told. But I could have had the title 9/11, Who You Gonna Believe, Me or Your Lying Eyes? Because that's what they have done. And they have been really shoddy with what they did in 9/11. And in fact, it is a seriously deep insult to your intelligence, Jay, is what it is. Because they want you to believe that these 19 men went to flight school here in the States. You don't go to flight school to learn how to fly passenger jets. You learn how to fly twin-engine Cessnas and stuff like that.
Right.
You know? But yet these guys, supposedly on that day, and supposedly how the scenario went, that they were partying hard the night before, cocaine, prostitutes, you name it, they did it. And they supposedly got up early in the morning and with box cutters and so forth, commandeered these planes, bum rushed the cockpits, took off of these planes, flew these planes, one into each tower, and then one into Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And the one that I seriously have issue with, that they flew a plane so fast and so low that when the nose of the plane hit the Pentagon, the damn plane disintegrated.
Sounds like a movie script to me, brother.
Oh, you know it
I'm
is,
sorry.
Jay.
I'm sorry to say it.
No, you're right. You know it is, Jay.
And you know, in all actuality, I don't even care, man. I don't care. I think about and I put into context the way that they treat the people that tried to come there to rescue and save those people. I look at how they have treated the so-called first responders.
Yeah.
How they're constantly continuous.
Well, you know, they had to fight. They had to fight for aid for those men and women who are first responders, for the 343 who died and the other thousands of firefighters and individuals like that one brother.
That's what I think about, how they don't even treat the people who tried to give understanding, relief, fairly.
Mm-hmm.
And with any type of real sympathy. I mean, we just a wicked, evil people when you look at it.
Yeah. Oh, no, man.
But
believe me.
I really called to ask you a question.
Sure. Wait a minute. I didn't understand you, Jay. Go ahead. Hello. Go ahead, Jay.
The Dog and Pony Show.
I heard you say a dog and pony show. Hey, Jay, call back. I'm going to take a break, Jay. I'm going to take a break. Okay, call back, my brother. And when right on the other side of the break, and then you can hit me up, okay? I'm going to take a break, brother. Okay. Once again, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back to talk more about how we can put that number 13 into our daily lives and transform us and our community. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Hey. ain't no telling where I might end up. You might see me on the east side, ha, the west side. I'm even going across the bridge, oh, cause I hear they really get down over there.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other program, we have our Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. My program, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Monday through Friday. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Monday and Wednesday, The Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones immediately follows this program from 1 to 3, Mondays and Wednesdays. And on Monday evenings, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then after that, it is Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9. On Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers at 8. Also at 8 to 10 is Revive with Sister POC. On Wednesdays, then on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And on Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, of course, all times are Eastern, is Time for an Awakening. This tonight is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then on Sunday evening, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with, once again, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., The Warren Ballantyne Show, Monday through Friday. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Also, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness every Friday from 4 to 6 on Blog Talk Radio with my brother, your host, Brother Yusuf Muhammad. That is 563-999-3089, 563-999-3089. Getting back to the discussion, I was hoping Jay would still be online, but if Jay, if you're listening, if you wanted to make that point, please get in, because I'm about to take this conversation to how we can put that number 13 into our daily lives, because the number 13 is the number of transformation. 12 completes the cycle, 13 begins anew, you know. And we need to transform ourselves. We need to change our minds and our hearts, our spirit. We need to do this desperately so we can understand how important it is for us to be collective, to be supportive of one another, to begin to trust one another, respect one another, begin to build with one another. This program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. That means nation building, nationhood, sovereignty, that nobody outside of us dictates, tells us, does, whatever. Everything that we do in accordance with one another, with respect and honor with one another. But that collective mindset, of course, is destroyed. But that's what that's what we had in ancient Kemet. That's why the society lasts so long. That's why the culture was so strong. That's why even the Greeks, when they came in, they couldn't touch the culture. The culture was so strong, it maintained, even though the Greeks were there. When the Ptolemies, after the death of Alexander, the so-called great, when the Ptolemies took over, they wanted to be Greek. Alexander was buried, supposedly, in Kemet. He didn't want to go back to Greece because the culture was strong. Cleopatra VII, the one that is noted, what she wanted to do was save Kemet, or Egypt, as the Greeks called it. That's why she played Julius Caesar and played Mark Antony. She wanted to save the culture. Of course, Julius Caesar's brother Octavian, Augustus Caesar, took over, and that was the downfall. When Rome, that was the downfall. But it was still strong. The culture, brothers and sisters, didn't change until Islam swept through northern Africa into Egypt.
That's when the culture changed. That's how strong it was. That's the transformation that ancient Kemetic people had. They understood the number 13 and the ability of that, putting it into our everyday lives. So that's why, even though this society makes it out as an evil number and you be scared and all so forth, because they know its power, the number 13. So how can we then put that number into our everyday lives and so we can transform ourselves and our community? First, put in the Unguza Saba. I don't know what you did. I'm trying to remember if I used Ma'at, the seven principles of Ma'at. I used the Unguza Saba. Because the Unguza Saba was meant, because I usually do this around Kwanzaa, the Unguza Saba was meant to be incorporated into our everyday lives. Umoja, unity. To be the underlying theme of Kwanzaa, and of course we have a Kwanzaa all time in December, we'll get off into that at that time, but to me, these principles are in our everyday life. They are not from December 26th to January 1st. No. When we talk about unity, umoja, unity, the underlying theme of Kwanzaa is unity. The most important thing for African people is our unity. The most, what the Caucasian fears the most is our unity. He don't fear not a damn one of us individually. No matter how much money we may have, no matter how much influence we may have, no matter how big or whatever we're supposed to be, there is no fear of not one of us individually. But it is a unified force, has a collective of us, tremendous fear. Because once that happens, it is over for them. Once we begin to rule ourselves, once we begin to work together to build for ourselves, it is over. And we wouldn't have to do a damn thing to them. Now, I know there's some of us, you know, we want some retribution. We want some big payback. I understand that too. But hell, we got a lot to deal with once we come into our collective mindset. Ain't got time for that. It's about building and building for the future of African people. Unity. Second principle. So we got these seven principles. I want you to hold these seven principles. The second principle of the seven, Kujichagulia, self-determination, to define who we are, to name ourselves. You know, I was so serious about being African and so serious about Kwanzaa that I took it to heart. I changed my name, because when I was given a name at a naming ceremony, I would use it during Kwanzaa and other African festivals, because the name was given to me in the 80s, but I changed it. But I changed it. I think it became official in 92. That's how long I've been Oshiemi Adelabu. 92, because I believe in self-determination. I believe we should name ourselves, do for ourselves, you know. But you know what, I don't advocate name changes for us as a people. No, I don't, because there are some brothers and sisters who have been given some beautiful names, beautiful African names, some even some beautiful Arab names, whatever. But yet those individuals did not live up to those names. They done heinous things to others and to themselves. No, I don't advocate name changes. I advocate mind changes, because once your mind is right, everything else will fall into place. It's about the mind. We are at war, dear brothers and sisters, for the minds of our people. That's what this program is about. This program is about to helping to free the African mind. Self-determination. That's the second principle. The third principle, Ujima. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. Collective, being working together, building together. I advocated, and I'll probably do it again, and said on Ujima, collective work and responsibility, come together and clean up the basement. Come together and clean up the house. Come together as a family and do something in the community. Collective work and responsibility. Somebody's got a project, go help them. Bring others to help them. Collective work and responsibility. We are a collective people, a cooperative people. One thing that was brought out in that documentary, Mama Africa, all the time is that we will come together to solve the problems that may happen within our community, within our village. We'll come together. We ain't gonna let you hang out there. We're going to come together and help you solve it. That's the third principle. The fourth principle, Ujamaa. Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Or as we like to say with Ulu, family-centered economics. Ujamaa, pulling our resources, spending money with each other. Remember I said today, Black Friday in Milwaukee, we would not spend. We would come together. And on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, we wouldn't spend no money with Caucasians. That was Black Friday for us. Yes, I know they co-opted. They co-opted the term because now they could do that. But they couldn't do that in the 50, in the 60s and 70s or 80s. Say it's Black Friday. No, they couldn't have done it then. Because black means in the economics of this country, you want to be in the black. That's why they named it Black Friday. This will help you because you're probably in the red. You need this holiday season to get you over the hump so you could be in the red. So you will turn a profit. And of course, the bottom line is profit in this country. In fact, how they measure it, if I made $1 million this year, I made $1 million profit. But next year, I only made $900,000. They take it as a loss. Because every damn year, I'm supposed to make more and more and more and more and more and more. Greedy son of a... Cooperative economics. And we must practice cooperative economics. The next principle, the fifth principle, is Kumba. Let me see, is that right? Umoja, Kujijagalia, Ujima, Ujamaa. Yes, Kumba, creativity. Then Nia, and then Imani. Okay. Kumba, creativity. Our creativity, not the creativity, not just the creativity that we exhibited as African people to create great civilizations like ancient Kemet. Not the creativity that we have as entertainers or sports figures. But the creativity that we have to be able to develop a society and to put that society in context of survival, not just survival, of thriving for African people. The creativity is to show the kind of buildings we need in today's world, roads and so forth, the vehicles we need that won't emit pollution. The kind of creativity that we'll have that we can be in Africa and make sure that there's a harmony between humans and nature. Creativity. Kumba, creativity. Nia, purpose. All of us have a purpose. The purpose for the child is to develop and grow into a strong man or woman. Your purpose as the parent and the adult is to guide that child to realize his or her purpose. Nia, purpose. Our purpose here is now to come into our right minds. That should be our purpose. Not to try to get rich. Not to try to be the best at this or that. Not to try to find a comfortable niche and corner in Urugu's world. Your purpose should be to develop yourself as the model. And for you to be a Jegna. For you to be a Jegna, to help other brothers and sisters. Purpose. Imani, the seventh principle, Imani, faith. Faith. Not just a belief in a deity or a God or a theology or a spirituality, but faith in yourself. Faith in your ability to overcome whatever obstacle that is put in your path. Faith. You got those seven? Hold those seven. Add to those seven the five C's. The first C, consciousness. I have dedicated my life to helping to raise the consciousness of African people. My vehicle for doing so is this radio program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. When you dial in here, however how you come here through Time for an Awakening, go online. You can do timeforanawakening.com. You can on TuneIn, have that app on your phone or other mobile devices on your tablet. Hit that and then hit Time for an Awakening. Or you can dial the number, the 215-490-9832 number. Whatever how you get there, dear brothers. This program will help elevate and raise your consciousness. Because consciousness is about the mind. And as I said earlier, we are at war for the minds of our people. You are bombarded 24/7, 365 with images and notions of your inability, your inferiority, your lack of will and unity. Your will. That's deep, ain't it? Because that's what the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey said. Up, you mighty people. You can accomplish what you will. Do we have the will? Or has the European, the Caucasian, impacted us so deeply that, and of course, there are many people who would, they can't listen to this program. They can't tune in and sit for 2 hours and ingest this or rationalize this or listen to this and hopefully there's something there that helps them think. Every program is ended with the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor, the European, the Caucasian, the white man is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Consciousness. And consciousness is more than just an awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, who you are historically. So that first C is consciousness. The second C is courage. Because you have consciousness, You have courage. You feel good. You can challenge others and each other. You have courage. You feel good about yourself. The third C, confidence. Not cockiness, not ego tripping. Not that you think you all that in a bag of chips. No, it's confidence. A belief that whatever roadblock or detour that's put in your path, you will overcome them because you have consciousness, you have courage, and you have confidence. You can pass the test. You can get the promotion. You can become whatever it is that you put your mind to becoming because you have confidence. Once again, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. With confidence, you have won the race even before it starts. You have won even before it starts. Confidence. The fourth C, conscience. Knowing what is morally right and wrong and doing what is right. Standing on principle, standing on integrity. I've stated this many times. I don't have any money. I don't. But what I do have is my name. You can go to Milwaukee right now and go in the community and you ask, do you know Brother Oshie? Because I built a reputation on giving, on helping, being a Jigna, a football coach, a referee, a father, a grandfather, people who love their community and working with our young people. Conscience. Knowing what is morally right and wrong and doing what's right. I remember when I first started working with young people on my days off. I remember this one school, this young girl, she was fine. What if I slipped her my number and we rendezvoused? What if I got busted and she got pregnant or whatever? That everything that I would have stood for as a man, I would have been a liar. It would have been a contradiction. And my reputation would have been shot. No, it's too valuable. We need men and women who are models, who stand on principle, who stand on integrity. We can trust them. We don't want to hear about somebody, oh, wow, really? He was molesting young boys? Wow. Oh, really? He got a young girl pregnant. She was underage. Oh, man. No. We want people with conscience, integrity, men and women of their word, people who support, respect, and love African people. The fifth C, conviction. No matter whatever roadblock detour is put in your path, you will overcome it because you have conviction. You wanted to be whatever it is you wanted to be, but because of circumstances, you couldn't be that at the timetable that you really wanted to be. But because you have conviction, you overcome all of that and you become the doctor, the nurse, the teacher, the firefighter, the police officer, the engineer, whatever it is. You persevere. Conviction. So now, how can we put this number 13 in our daily lives and overcome all of this ignorance, all of this stupidity, all this hurt and shame to be the men and women that could be a model? Because we put these principles in the five C's in our life. The seven principles of unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, creativity, purpose, and faith. We added the five C's of consciousness, courage, confidence, conscience, and conviction. 7 + 5 = 12. Plus you is 13, brothers and sisters. 13. Put those things in your everyday life. I try my best to practice those principles. I support African people. I support our businesses. If it's something positive going on with African people, I try to be there to help. Transformation. Imagine if African people here in this country put those principles and those five C's in their daily lives. That they believed in unity and they worked towards it. They believe in being self-determining. I ain't saying they got to change their damn name. But they believe they ain't got to wear African clothes. But when their mind is right, everything else falls into place. Maybe when your mind is right, maybe you feel that's what you need to do. And you do it. That's what I felt. That's why when I had my African clothes on at the Brotherhood anniversary, or even at the Rufus, at the high school reunion, I remember when a lot of us were wearing grand boobahs. I remember going to a, back in the 90s, mid to late 90s, Cass was wearing African clothes. Well, they stopped. They put on a tuxedo and a shirt and tie. A lot of them came with their dress blues. I was wearing them then. I'm wearing them now. I wear them till I expire. Sister said, why are you dressed like this? I had a good conversation with her. She clearly understood. She was a nice young lady too. She's trying to get on the fire department. I wish her well, and I know some of the guys are trying to help her. Nice young sister. Wish her well. You know, met some young firefighters trying to get it together. That was great. Of course, they always thank me. Thank you for your, just like my good friend Jim Wimbush in Chicago. You know, many people thank him, and they should. Because there are a lot of us, man, who made sacrifices to help others. But I'm talking about serious. I'm talking about a whole paradigm shift in terms of thinking and behaving and modeling in an African way. Unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, helping out, finding out what's happening. Like when we came together, I mean, I was going to go somewhere, but I'm not going to go there yet. I'll take a few time, a few more days. But working together to make it happen, and how you feel when it is accomplished, that we did this together, that we came together and put something together and it's finished and we did it together. Ujamaa, cooperative economics, spend money. Everybody, all the other communities spend money within their community. Our community, money goes into our pocket and immediately comes out. Here in Atlanta, we don't have one damn supermarket. If the supermarket was even 5-10 miles away, I would go there. I would shop there. You don't have to be around the corner up the street. But we don't have one. Nowhere in my neighborhood is there a service station, convenience store, where I could go get gas. Just like in Milwaukee. The only place I get gas is from Diane on 8th and Atkinson. She's the last one left. She should have so much business that she's opening up another one. That she has so much business that there's cars lined up just to get gas patiently. I remember when Marie had her service station on North Avenue in Milwaukee. The road construction killed her business. Killed it. But I would find a way to drive that way to get gas from her. A good friend of mine, Shirley, when she had her station, I used to go there all the time. And she wanted to sell to Marie, but Marie couldn't financially do it. And so Shirley closed, and her daughters, they didn't want to do it. In fact, she had two service stations. And then my good brother, Dave's Gas, brothers from Cameroon, Muslim brothers, good family. He finally gave it up. And now some Pakistanis, I believe, have it. Whatever, I don't know. I haven't been in there. I don't go there. It's just like when I, just like my bank, Legacy Bank, when it closed, the FDIC came in there. And man, it was like, bam, on that Friday. They closed on that Friday. Once the business day was over, they came in and just took over. It was no more. I seen one of the sisters who created that bank. Legacy Bank in Milwaukee was created by five sisters. Shirley Lanier, Bob Lanier, Babadab, Milwaukee Bucks, St. Bonaventure, Detroit, his ex-wife. In fact, she's still there, and her son, Walter Lanier, he's a minister. Their son is in Milwaukee. Good brother. But Shirley and her and others, one was Margaret Henningsen. And so I saw Margaret Henningsen in about to get gas at Marie's. But when I went in there, it was changed. It was changed. And so I walked out. And I went up the street to Dave and was going to Dave's until he closed. I've been going to Diane's. What I'm saying is, try your best to spend money with each other. Now, here in Atlanta, for vegan restaurants, especially where I am here in the West End, there's a ton of them. There's a slutty vegan. It's tired to get into her place. There's a long line. But there's Viva La Vegan, there's Wadada's, there's Soul Veg, there's Healthful Essence. There's a lot of them in this particular area. And I support them. But this area is changing. It's being gentrified. Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. Kumba, creativity. Creativity, brothers. And I've seen the creativity firsthand here in Atlanta, Milwaukee, wherever. I've seen creativity of many of our brothers and sisters. And we have always been that from day one. But we've been led to believe that we have never done anything. The European, the Caucasian, wants us to believe we've never done nothing. That we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never creating a civilization of any kind or any worth. I'm going to tell you, I told Brother Scotty Reed I wouldn't say this anything derogatory towards Caucasian people, but sometimes when you look and you think about what they have done and what they continue to do, that Nathan McCall's book makes you want to holler. Makes you want to holler. Makes you want to scream. Creativity. Nia, purpose. I found my purpose. My purpose at this particular time in my life. Help my family and help African people. help raise the consciousness of African people. You know, when I was talking about things that I do, you know, especially at the Manhood Conference, I was saying to them, you know, I've worked a lot with young people, and the satisfaction that I've received is sometime down the road, you'll run into somebody who says, "Hey, you're Brother Oshie. I remember you from school. You used to come to my school. And because of you, today I'm a teacher." One brother did that right here in Atlanta at the Juneteenth day that was at on the campus of Morris Brown, right on King Drive, and right there by the stadium, by the Mercedes Stadium. You can see the stone throws away at the end of the Atlanta university system, Morris Brown. That was a great meeting. This young man said, "Man, I remember you. I remember the things that you said." That's another brother that does it in Milwaukee, Brother Keon Malone Jackson, who is has a program every Friday morning on WNOV Radio, 860 WNOV 860. I was on his program last Friday. Because he said, "Man, I remember you in school, man. School used to come every, you know, once a week. First, I didn't want to go, but, man, I started coming because what you were saying." Because I told him, I said, "I'm going to say some things that you're not going to get here in these schools. But what I'm going to say to you is based on our knowledge and our history and our culture. Purpose. Find your purpose. Faith, Imani. No, I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I respect Christians. I respect Muslims. I respect all faiths." I remember talking the other day in Milwaukee, they're trying to develop a council of elders. And one brother who's Nawabian, he mentioned something about their culture. And I'm saying, no, it's not culture, it's their faith. We're talking about culture, and I detect a little something. I know that, brother. I know we'll be cool, you know, because your belief is your belief. I don't give a damn what you believe, as long as you don't try to impose your belief on others. And that's what Islam and Christianity is about. It's a proselytizing theology. But for us, I always revert back to El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, Omar Wali. For us, Malcolm X. When we come to the, as he said, when we come to the table to talk about the issues that are affecting African people, I'm not going to talk about El Islam. El Islam is my religion. I might turn some folks off. Or they might say, challenge me about Christianity. So then we won't get to the real issue. Leave it at home if you're a Muslim. Leave it at home if you're a Seventh-day Adventist. Leave it at home if you, whatever it is that you believe in theologically. We're here to deal with what has happened to African people, what we're going to do to come together to get out of it. If that is your faith, that's beautiful. And if because of your faith you have done great things and challenging things and doing, that's great. But we're here to talk about how we as African people, regardless of the theologies that we believe, whatever kind of spirituality that we have, that we are going to come together to be a sovereign, independent, self-determining, liberated people. Bottom line. The five C's of consciousness. Always work on your consciousness. You're bombarded 24/7. Everything that you see and hear, television and so forth, you always got to defend your consciousness. I mean, even me, you know, all of us, some of the most strong of us. It's a It's a daily thing. It really is, brothers and sisters. There are some of us that, you know, and I know good people, but we blame ourselves and we blame each other for what has been done to us. Consciousness, courage, to have the courage to do it. A lot of us don't have courage. There are many of us who are in that 20% or even 10% or part of that 1% with the Caucasian. They have no courage as far as it relates to African people, though they have all the courage in the world to wheel and deal and to hang out with Europeans and Caucasians. No, I ain't talking about that. Well, I'm talking the courage to be who you are as an African man and woman, standing on it. Courage. Confidence. Having the confidence, knowing that whatever it is, you'll meet the challenge, you'll study, you'll learn, you'll listen, you'll research. Confidence. Conscience. Standing on what's right, standing on principle. Don't even go near what's wrong. Standing on right, challenging yourself. And conviction. Conviction. I'm going to do this no matter how long it takes. Because I believe in it. My conviction is the freedom and the justice for African people. My conviction is to change the minds of African people. So this Friday the 13th, and I know you'll hear TV, some they'll talk about it, some will jokingly talk about it, they'll talk about the fear that they have, da 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 da, you know. But when they talk about it, hopefully you will think, say to yourself, oh, I know what Friday the 13th is about. I know what the number 13 is about. It's not good. Yeah. No, it is. Number 13 is the number of transformation. 12 completes the cycle, 13 begins anew. I'm going to put those principles that Brother Oshie just talked about, those 12 principles, those 7 principles of the Nguza Saba, the 5 C's of behavior, corrective behavior. 5 and 7 is 12, plus me is 13. The number of transformation. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate this day. I appreciate you. A great week. You know, a lot of times when I do these programs, I feel real solemn. You know, sometimes I'm very hyped. I feel good. Because I know what I'm doing is the right thing to do. I feel good for you because if you're listening, you're doing the right thing. And I'm hoping you're telling others. And I hope you're helping others because that's what time it is. It's important that we, as African men and women, uplift one another. It's important. So, these last 2 programs on 9/11, I hope that you, understand that this 9/11 hoax that it is, and maybe by 2021 on the 20th anniversary, and I believe that those who perish should be honored. The 12 brothers, because if that documentary didn't come out, you would have known about the 12 brothers who are firefighters that died. Three of the three, total 343 firefighters and all the civilians and almost 3,000 people. Fine. But the charade of blaming that on people outside this country. No, brothers and sisters, that didn't happen. It was clearly an inside job. Clearly a false flag. Clearly. And I'm hoping that one day it happens. I don't give a damn because I know. I'll continue to do this, and I believe that it'll never happen. Bush, Rumsfeld, Cheney, Wolfowitz, all of them. No, they will never spend any time in prison for what they've done. The many people that they've killed, the millions of people that have been killed since 9/11. And the so-called war on terror and homeland security and that BS. And then, of course, today, Friday the 13th. The number 13. So two programs that I have grown very fond of and trying to bring to you. And I, once again, there'll be another Friday the 13th in December. And we'll expand upon what we've talked about today. And hopefully you'll call in and, you know, give some perspective to it as well. Thank you so much for listening. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. That's a Dr. John Henry Clark quote. Brothers and sisters, this has been great. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahoria. Bibi Fahoria means our victorious destiny. We will. You have a blessed and wonderful day, brothers and sisters. Peace.